Good morning. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing that devotional this morning about God's, thinking of God's faithfulness. I confess to being a little dense when he was asking about what was going on at 7:15 this morning. I'm thinking, second cup of coffee? Third cup of coffee? But yeah, thanks for sharing that. This morning, I'm planning to talk about encouragement. And I've titled it, Fan the Flames of Life. So how many of you here have ever been discouraged? Okay, I think we officially have a hand-raising church. Always wanted to go to one of them. I think we've all experienced that. We've all been discouraged. And I was thinking about the people that have committed their, many people over the years that have committed their lives to God, and not all of them are still following after God. There are storms that come. Disappointments happen. I think we all experience disappointments, and life is hard. Being a Christian can be hard. And I was looking at the stats of suicides here in the U.S., and it's like 135 a day average. And as a teen, that was something that I was contemplating. So I'd like you to think about your encouragement could basically help save someone's life. And another question here is, how many of you have ever struggled to get a campfire going or keep it going? Okay, and sometimes that's because wind comes along and blows it out, and other times it's because of a lack of wind or a lack of oxygen. We were on a hunting camping trip a couple weeks back, and this fire just wasn't going. It just wouldn't get going, and Calvin had this little fan, put it down by the fire, and just worked like a champ. And that's how our spiritual lives can be as well. And as we think about the people around us, we want to make sure that their fires are burning brightly. And I am liked how we did that in Sunday school to have a couple people read some scriptures. So I'm going to get a couple volunteers here. Would someone be willing to read Acts 4, 32 through 37? Jake, thank you, sir. And Acts 9, 26 through 28. Walter. And Acts 15, 36 through 39. Ms. Phyllis, thank you. And you can find those places, and we will get to those here soon enough. So I'm planning to talk this morning about the effects of discouragement, biblical examples of encouragement, and specifically look at Barnabas, and then have a story and illustration and some closing comments. So the effects of discouragement, some of the ones that came to my mind, is that if you're discouraged, you're going to be prone to fear, prone to inactivity, prone to deception, prone to criticize, and prone to be criticized. And I was thinking back to a time when I was discouraged, and I was thinking about my first week of being at the thrift store. Walter and I spent some time going over training and all the ins and outs, and at the end of the week, I was just kind of feeling discouraged, and I remember that he took time to speak some words of life and pray for me, and it didn't take very long, but it helped fan my flame. And we are not the first generation that has faced discouragement. I was thinking about Esther had Mordecai as she faced a big decision. David had Jonathan and a small band of followers. Paul had Barnabas, and Timothy had Paul, and I'd like to think that encouragement fosters encouragement. So thinking about Barnabas and what it looks like to fan the flame in someone else's life, Acts 4, 32 through 37.
Needy person among them, because all those who own lands or houses sold sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to each person as any had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus by birth, the one the apostles called Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Thank you. I like how it describes Barnabas. Basically, his name meant son of encouragement. So what a testimony that is. And you can imagine yourself being a needy person in that community, maybe a widow, and knowing that people would sell their land if they needed to make sure that you were taken care of. And Acts 9, 26 through 28. So you can put yourself into the shoes of Paul. Not only is the new guy, but he's also the guy that went around threatening people. And if you got in his way, you might get stoned to death. He probably had a very small friend group. He was no longer popular. He was no longer their leader. And he didn't really have much trust from either side, the side that he left or the side that he joined. He was starting from ground zero. And Barnabas was willing to stick out his neck for Paul, so we don't know what Paul's ministry would have looked like if it hadn't been for Barnabas. And Acts 15, 36 through 39. If you think about Paul's stance on John Mark, it seems reasonable and relatable. John Mark had this very distasteful exit from the first missionary journey, and Paul's like, I know what happens. I don't want to do that again. But Barnabas was willing to stick up for John Mark, and John Mark actually ended up then being the author of the Gospel of Mark, traditionally credited with that, and it sounds like later on, Paul actually called him a fellow worker and said that John Mark was very useful to me for ministry. So Paul actually ended up changing his mind about John Mark. And encouragement is something that can be given in different ways. And I've listed them out, all starting with the letter T, and it's basically based off the five love languages. Encouragement is basically a way of loving someone. So as you think about fanning the flame in a practical way, you could think about time, maybe giving someone a listening ear, touch, a hug, a handshake, praying over someone, talents, a helping hand if someone has a project or if there's a disaster that happens, treats, a gift, a thoughtful gift to someone, speaking words of life, timely words, which would basically be speaking life. And it seems to be that the type of encouragement or the type of love that people give is often the type of love that they would like to receive in return. And then I'm going to be reading in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 6. You're welcome to turn there. This is the ESV version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort. which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. And I was looking at that pattern, suffering and comfort, and I don't think it's always going to be that way. We as Christians, we can look forward to heaven, and suffering will be over, and we will have comfort. All that will be left is the comfort of God continually. And so I was thinking about people going through hard times, and they are usually the ones that need encouragement the most, but they may be cranky, so just be ready to just remind yourself that they're probably the ones that need encouragement the most. Hebrews 3:12-13, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So think of the impact that we as a church can make if we commit to encouraging someone every day, and just the encouragement that we as a group can make in the world. Hebrews 10:24-25, this is the KJV version, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And I brought along an example, maybe a very silly example, but encouragement is kind of like a balloon. We can help others to rise. We can help them to grow. People deflate quickly. Doesn't take much effort to deflate. But encouragement, it does. It takes effort. And just like this balloon, when you give encouragement, you don't know how far it's going to go when you give encouragement. Might come back at you. And I'm planning to read a story. It's called The Voyage of the Endurance. It says in the summer of, and I'd like you to be thinking about the five T's that I mentioned earlier. Time, touch, talents, treats, and timely words in this story. Examples of encouragement. The Voyage of the Endurance. In the summer of 1914, as Europe braced for war, another kind of drama was unfolding far to the south. A seasoned British explorer, Sir Ernest Shackleton, announced a bold ambition to be the first to march clear across the frozen continent of Antarctica from one side of the pole to the other. No one had ever done it. He believed that if men could conquer the last great white blank on the map, the achievement would lift spirits at a time when the world was sliding toward chaos. He gathered 27 volunteers, sailors, scientists, carpenters, and one teenage stowaway who crept aboard. They brought 50 sled dogs and brought provisions, and enough provisions to last 2 years. Their ship was christened Endurance, borrowing Shackleton's family motto, "By endurance we conquer." They left the last trace of civilization, the whaling station on South Georgia Island, and sailed into the Weddell Sea, a place of shifting flows and dark, heaving leads of open water. At first, the ice parted like a moving jigsaw, but as the winter deepened, the sea closed around them like a tightening fist. By January 1915, the Endurance was locked fast, imprisoned in a frozen world of eerie silence. The men swung pickaxes, tried sawing channels, even used the ship's engines to ram the ice. Nothing worked. The floes hardened, and the ship became a motionless speck in an endless white desert. The pressure grew month after month. Timbers creaked and bowed. On an October evening, the hull finally splintered with a sound like cannon fire. The Endurance shuddered, tilted, and slowly disappeared beneath the ice. The explorers stood in stunned silence. Their dream of crossing the continent had vanished beneath their feet. No radio, no hope of rescue, only a drifting plane of ice hundreds of miles from the nearest human being in the long, merciless Antarctic night. Shackleton then said calmly, "Ships and stores are gone, but our goal is not lost. We will get every man home alive." It was not a rousing speech, but from that moment, the men measured success in a new way. The expedition was no longer about glory. It was about life. Shackleton threw himself into their work. He hauled sledges, sewed canvas, and took his turn at the oars. He kept strict routines, tents up before dark, dogs fed first, meals served at regular hours even when the food was thin. He moved from tent to tent at night, listening for the sound of discouragement, drawing the lonely and fearful into conversation. The boss, as the men called him, always found a task for the restless or the despairing, a reason to keep moving. He insisted on moments of laughter. They held mock trials and impromptu concerts, even on the bleakest nights. One crewman later recalled he had a genius for making a man feel that he was, for the time being, the most important person in the world. Shackleton's own optimism, steady, unforced, became a kind of shelter no blizzard could breach. When at last the ice cracked beneath their feet, the men launched three lifeboats and fought their way through slush and jagged floes. Spray froze on their beards like shards of glass. After days of brutal rowing, they sighted a black ridge of rock, Elephant Island. They had reached land, but it offered no safety. A barren outcrop hidden from the shipping lanes, Shackleton knew no passing vessel would ever find them. There was only one chance. He chose five companions and prepared to cross 800 miles of the wildest ocean on Earth in a 22-foot open boat, the James Caird, to reach the whaling station back on South Georgia. The Caird was scarcely larger than a city bus stop. For 16 days, the little boat battled the South Atlantic. Waves as high as houses crashed over them. Sleep came in ragged snatches. At last, they sighted the gray cliffs of South Georgia on the uninhabited side, walled by mountains no one had ever crossed. Shackleton and his two companions set off on foot for 36 hours without sleep. They climbed glaciers by moonlight, slid down icy gullies, and waded through waterfalls in the dark. Near dawn, they heard a sound that made their hearts pound, the faint, distant whistle of the whaling station. They had reached civilization. Shackleton wasted no time. He organized a rescue at once. Pack ice turned him back once, twice, three times. He refused to quit. On the fourth attempt, more than 4 months after leaving Elephant Island, Shackleton finally stepped ashore again. Every man was alive, not one lost. Shackleton never did cross Antarctica. His fame rests on something rarer, the quiet strength that held 28 men together when their world turned to ice. He gave them a purpose when their grand mission sank. More than a century later, the story still travels, a testament to the power of a single steady spirit to keep hope alive when everything else has frozen solid. And another thing that I was thinking about is that all people need encouragement. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you're Asian, if you're Polynesian, if you're African American, white, Indian, Hispanic, whatever part of the world you're in, all people need encouragement. And so if you forget everything else that I talked about this morning, I want you to think about this one question. Who is one person that God would like me to encourage today? Now, today is kind of a marketing term that they overuse today, like buy this today. The scripture talks about encouraging people daily. So who is that one person that God would like you to encourage today? And Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." And encouragement is like a spiritual gift. It's something that can be developed and grown. And encouragement is something that we all need, but it's also something that we all need to do, and it's a way that we can make an impact beyond this life. And a quote here in closing: a church that fans the flame in one another doesn't just survive, it shines. And I got a bunch of text messages and people that let me know they were praying and a lot of encouragement. I'm like, you guys already got this, so maybe this was just for me. So, Walter, do you have a song in closing? Maybe we can all all stand. The last thing I have here is that encouragement is never wasted.